Our scripture for today comes from the book of Micah, chapter 6, verses 6 through 8. With what shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before God on high? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, with tens of thousands of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He has told you, O mortal, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you but to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with your God? The word of the Lord.
When we were considering whether or not to use the narrative lectionary this year, one of our concerns was whether the text would fit Sundays like today, Stewardship Sunday. It's important that we're hearing the text that we're preaching in the order in which they are listed, so would whatever text that was listed for November 9th work? Imagine how excited we were when we discovered that this text from Micah is the text for today. At our staff retreat in August, we could not believe that everything fell together for this Sunday. How perfect is this text? Do justice, love kindness, walk humbly with your God. We know this text by memory, which in turn means that we give of our resources. It's the top of the list perfect text for a Stewardship Sunday. Sure, there are good scriptures that have been in our bulletin inserts, but this is the text. What shall I come before the Lord? With what shall I come before the Lord? God has told you, O mortal, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you but to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with your God? It is such a perfect text for a Stewardship Sunday that it feels as if Justin should have read it. I should stand here for maybe 3 or 4 moments and say a little something about it. The invitation to offer our monetary resources and time and talent should be issued. The deacon should collect those gifts. I should pray. We should move on to the hymn. Seriously, this text is that good and that self-explanatory. But of course, if we were listening when Justin read the text, there may be a question or two in our minds, such as, was Micah being just a little sarcastic at the beginning of this text? Micah speaking as if he is one of the people asked, what shall I bring before God? Shall I bring a burnt offering, a one-year-old calf? That would work. That's the normal kind of tithe that would be expected. Or would the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, with tens of thousands of rivers of oil? Well, that would be above and beyond a tithe, and actually, that would allow a tremendous amount of ministry to be carried out. And who are we to turn away someone's extravagant gift to be used for God? But then Micah goes way out of bounds. Or shall I give God my firstborn for all of my transgressions? What? How did we go from giving God a respectable portion back of what God has given to us to extravagance to just a not-going-to-happen gift? Now remember that Micah is a prophet, a person who God rises up to speak God's word to the people. Most of the time, prophets weren't liked very much. Because when a prophet spoke for God, it was usually to call the people back to God from rebellious ways, and the prophet would tell them everything that they've done wrong. And that's the case with the prophet Micah. As we may remember, Israel was divided into a north territory and a south territory. The northern territory had fallen by this point, and the southern territory, known as Judah, was still standing, and the people thought they were doing things right because they were still standing. We're a lot better than the other kingdom that fell. They believed the prophets who had said that the North Territory had not lived according to God's word, so they no longer existed. Judah, on the other hand, must be living right because they're still around. But they were always in danger of enemies coming or other nations trying to take their land. The big city in Judah was Jerusalem, and the people built a big wall around it for protection. Micah comes to that wall. Micah lives out in the countryside, and Micah comes to this big walled city. and lets the people of Judah know that while they were sitting around being glad that they weren't like the other people, they actually have been just like them, and doom is at their gates. Well, what have the people done? They've had the power to do evil, and they have done that. They have taken away land and houses from people and made them their slaves. They've taken their money and their resources. The people of Jerusalem have walked around all haughty as if they're better than everyone else. They've walked around as if they were God. The people don't want to hear what Micah has to say, as you can imagine, but that doesn't stop Micah. He continues. God says that the people are rising up against their own people as if they are enemies, taking advantage of the peaceful people who are trusting and don't want war. They're driving the women out of their homes and taking the presence of God away from their children. In other words, you think very highly of yourself, but you're no better than the people of the northern kingdom who are no longer here. Micah says, so you are doomed because you abhor justice and pervert all equity. Your kings give judgments for bribes. Your priests teach for a price. I don't like that one too much. And your prophets tell you visions for money. You are violent. You cheat. You kill. And the list goes on and on. And then in the middle of the speech, Micah suddenly says, but there is hope. Out of Bethlehem, one of the little clans of Judah, will come forth one who will rule in Israel. He shall be great to the ends of the earth, and he shall be the one of peace. And then Micah continues telling the people what will happen to them. And Micah says, on behalf of God, what have I done to you that you have become a people who take and kill and defile? And God says, oh yeah, I brought you up out of Egypt and redeemed you from slavery. I sent you Moses, Aaron, and Miriam. Remember all that I have done for you, and you ask, with what shall you come before the Lord? Shall I bring a burnt offering of a one-year-old calf? Or wait, I know something bigger. Do you want to buy God? 1,000 rams or 10,000 rivers of oil? Or how about one of my children? After all, the kings at that time were known for sacrificing their children. And Micah says, O mortal, O people, God has already told you what God desires from you. Do justice, don't oppress anyone. Love kindness, no more violence and war and hatred and greed. And walk humbly with God. Remember that God is God. And it is God who has given us everything and gives us life. Isn't this a great stewardship Sunday text? It isn't all it's cracked up to be, is it? Micah is saying God doesn't want our calves, our rams, our oil, the flesh of our flesh. God doesn't want our money. No. God wants our hearts, our lives to be filled with doing justice, loving kindness, and walking humbly with God. That is all that God requires of us. So what in the world do we do with the text that says our money is not what God is asking us to give when it is our stewardship Sunday? The finance committee's, it's breaking out into a sweat right now, but maybe this will help. This past Thursday at our morning Bible study, we had a guest. Someone we had never met or seen before. He found our webpage on the internet and saw that we had Bible study on Thursday morning and wanted to attend the Bible study. The gentleman's name is John. He admittedly comes from a much more conservative background than Disciples of Christ, but he said he'd already figured that out before he arrived. As we always begin our studies, I asked for any prayer concerns, and John shared with us that he had recently been in another city in another state having treatments for cancer. After the treatments, he came to Minnesota to live with a relative. That didn't go so well, so he came to the Twin Cities. He now lives in a shelter, Higher Ground. It is near our downtown here. It's open 365 days a year. There's dinner and breakfast, and the wonderful thing is there are shower facilities there. It is one of the safer shelters in the city. John said he was trying to get to St. Cloud to then get to another town. He shared how much it cost to get a bus ticket. He shared about all of the places he had been in the cities to try to get help. He didn't want to stay in the Twin Cities. He really wanted to get to another town in Minnesota. I asked a few general questions, trying to find out if he really needed help, and if so, were we capable of helping? I didn't want to ask him too many in-depth questions in a room full of people because I didn't want to embarrass him. He did share with us that he was carrying around his rolling suitcase because, as a homeless person, he had nowhere to leave his belongings, and he needed and wanted his belongings. And sure enough, his suitcase was right there by him. After we prayed, we started the study, and John entered in the discussion in very appropriate ways. He appeared to like what he heard us saying around the table. At the end of the study, I told John that if he did not wind up leaving the Twin Cities, that he was welcome here anytime. As I gathered up all of my study books, and those of you that have been coming to Bible study know I bring in like 10 books, so I'm trying to get all these books in my arm as well as my Bible. And I noticed out of the corner of my eye that one of our dear members was shaking hands with John and at the same time handing him money. A fleeting thought of, that's why he came, to get money, crossed my mind. As I walked out of the room, another member stopped me and asked me if I thought giving John some money would help him out. I said, well, so-and-so just gave him some money. And the member said, well, remember, if you ever need it, I can always help someone in need. I was still in the hallway talking with another member when John, who was still there, asked if he could talk with me for a minute. Now, for the ministers in the room, you know what crossed my mind yet again, right? Here it is. He's about to ask me for money. Ah, if only he had. Instead, he said, one of your members just gave me money. I said, yes, I know. He said, that person shook my hand. That person actually shook my hand. I said, yes, I know. He asked, you saw the person shake my hand? And I said, yes, I did. He then said, I need to know if that person can afford what was placed in my hand. I said, well, I don't know how much was placed in your hand. He told me, and I said, I can only say that since it was placed in your hand, that person obviously could not afford to not help you. And John said, are you being serious? Because I will never take money from people that cannot afford to be giving money. I promise you that I will always give it back. If that is the case, I'm not that kind of person. He may as well have said, I'm not that kind of person that went through your mind, preacher. I gave him a hug and told him that it was fine and for him to go buy that bus ticket he needed. I headed to my office and thought, he still needs more money. Feeling terrible for the thoughts that I had, I went to my office, got my wallet, pulled out the small amount of money I had on me, and headed back into the hallway. And John wasn't there. I went and looked out the doors. I didn't see John anywhere. Instead, I was left with an encounter with members who do love and walk daily, and with a man who, in his own words, sounded a lot like Micah. I would never take money from people that cannot afford to be giving money. In other words, I who have nothing will never oppress anyone else. So this story didn't really help either, did it? Since today we're at this point in our worship service where I'm about to ask you to give. But I can say this to you. This church is filled with people who do justice, love kindness, and walk humbly with God every single day of their lives. And it is because of their love of God that this church is still around and offering the love of God to all they meet. This world needs this faith community. This world needs people just like everybody sitting here coming together and doing ministry together. And if you will trust that the ministries we carry out are filled with doing justice, loving kindness, and walking humbly with God, then we need your gifts so that we can have Bible studies that have prophets show up in their midst. Not for you to hear. That prophet was for me to hear. And money to provide food for shelters and offer life to homeless youth, and offer a glorious worship for all, and to provide ministers who strive to share the presence of God with you through every phase of life you'll journey. More importantly, to give God what God wants, we have to give of our resources. And in that, we do justice, love kindness, and walk humbly with God. Please take a few moments, consider what your pledge may be for the church, and fill out those time and talent cards. Time and talent is as valuable as monetary resources.